This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
8 o'clock hour here. Caitlin getting in the back. She's happy for the weekend. She's doing a double fist pump.
Double fist pump. Wow.
Peyton is getting it as well. Maybe she's just happy that I'm back. Live.
Never know.
Oh. Fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Roberto Belt. Did you guys have any good blow-ups the past 2 days?
Like arguments? No.
Oh. Other than Peyton, when we said pull a few Mavericks cuts, and he was like, he got two. And then he's like, two is a few. It's like, no, it isn't.
And then, you know, I don't remember Daniel Jones saying that the Cowboys were a laughing stock.
Oh, yeah. He put Chase NFL. Daniel on the cut sheet as Daniel Jones.
But you don't feel like it was a mail in from Peyton?
No,
the last
it wasn't.
And
payload was pretty good. Payload was pretty good.
And the Mavs highlights, you think these goofballs would do three Mavs segments? I mean, come on. Like, you don't need three.
I know.
Mavs.
I know you guys did 14 baseball segments.
We did.
Choppy took advantage of that with me out. All right. Let's get to the five things RJ wants to see. Official predictions for Cowboys-Eagles. You can do it straight up or with the point spread. The spread right now is 7.5. Before RJ with his five things, Bobby has maybe bad referee news.
Yeah, we didn't have great referee news last week, and this week isn't getting any better. It's Alex Kemp is the one calling this week's game. Fun fact, it was Alex Kemp's crew who penalized Dallas the most in a single game last season when they got 13 flags against the Cardinals. But he is the only referee in the NFL where home teams have a losing record in every season that he's led a crew. The road teams have a winning record every single season that he's been a head referee, and there's no other official in the NFL that's like that. They all have at least 1 year where the home team won more games than the road. But he's a road favorite. Not a great draw on that front. Some of the tendencies about him, he's thrown the third most flags in the NFL this season. His crew leads the league in offensive and defensive holding calls. So, Tyler Guyton, you need to watch out this week.
Oh, man.
He also leads the league in offensive pass interference calls, but he's middle of the pack in defensive pass interference. So, there's something about he doesn't like he'll, it seems like, give the defensive backs a little bit of room to get handsy, but he's not going to allow that same physicality from the receivers. Those pre-snap penalties Dallas dealt with all last week. So, it's kind of a mixed bag. He's near the top in the NFL in most illegal formation and delay of game calls, but he's got one of the lowest illegal shift numbers in the NFL.
It's funny, how can delay of game call be something
I know,
like, separate?
Because
watch this guy get you for delay game.
Because it is subjective technically.
They will actually argue, quarterbacks will argue over, because it's like a it's like the base rule, like the old in the vicinity rule, or you, did you actually touch the bag, or were you in the It's called differently by different crews. So some crews will just call it if they see the zero, or they'll look up, see one, look over, and if they don't see him snap it, they'll blow it. So it can vary.
But I think they need to have a buzzer.
They should. They get, like, zapped for it. He's got one of the lowest illegal shift numbers. No one has called fewer false starts in the NFL than Alex Kemp. And so you got that. For Philly, which is always accused of the little rock back with their offensive tackles,
yeah,
they should get an advantage this week because he's certainly not going to call it. But this one doesn't seem to match up totally great for Dallas on the football field and with the referees. So,
how different? I forgot to ask this to McCarthy. Coach is coming up, if you missed it, 8:40 this morning. How different is their push execution?
Mm. It hasn't worked as well this year. I mean, it still works most of the time, but defenses have started responding to certain things. And Cam Jurgens is not Jason Kelce. That's a big part of it. And Jurgens is not a big, powerful guy. He's obviously not going to have the same experience that Kelce did in terms of the technique and the way that they do things. So that tush push was really grown from Mailata and Kelce together. They were kind of the brainchild behind it. But it's not been executed as well, but it's still effective.
All right, Chop, give us your preview.
All right, five things I want to see this Sunday from the Dallas Cowboys. Number one, I do want to see Trey Lance. I know it's not likely, but I do want to see him. I want to see him in some capacity.
I think you will because of Jerry with us on Tuesday.
Yeah, like we thought, like maybe like I want to see him actually throw it. I don't want to see him just get out there and do a run. I want to see him like get like a.
He'll be in. I bet he comes in on red zone packages. I bet he's in there for goal lot, like certain stuff inside the 10. Maybe they bring him out for certain series or whatever else. But I think he will. I wouldn't be surprised if you see him out there a handful of plays, and he does end up throwing the ball.
If it's a two-score game in the fourth quarter, give it to him, right? If it's a two-score game in the fourth quarter, I would love to see him out there. Number two, exercise caution with the injured. That's CD, that's Micah, that's anyone. If they're good to go, let them play. Fine, whatever. If they're hobbly, get them out of there. Be cautious with them. We still got a lot of C's left. If they're serious about winning these games, you know, you can't just put all your eggs into the Philadelphia basket. You've got to be judicious with these guys. Number three, don't let Kellen pull a damn Dan Campbell. We knew what Dan was going to do. They were going to do a trick play or two or seven. And we know what Kellen's going to do. Kellen is going to run the hell out of the football this week just to stick it to Mike, because Mike said, "Oh, we'll run the damn ball."
Yeah.
Right? So he is going to – I bet you Kellen runs the ball more in this game than he has all year in any football game. So stack the box.
By the way, they are number one in the NFL in rushing attempts.
Yep, stack the box.
What do you think, Bobby? You think Kellen, the Sirianni's putting that in for Kellen, or is that any type of Kellen's personality?
Kellen is not generally that type of personality, I don't think, but I think he has some scores to settle from last time he was here. So yeah, I think a trick play is definitely possible.
Bobby, who is the best player, who's the best linebacker this team has right now?
On the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Overshown.
All right. This is the guy I want to see. Have a big game. Big game against Saquon, Hurts. He's got to use his speed all over Hurts, all over Barkley. You cannot let him leapfrog you from the behind the way he did. If they call it making T the front way, what do they call it the back way? Right? What was that? And finally, number five, before the game, and this is important, I need someone to plant something on Big Dom so he can't be on the sideline. So back at Fast and Furious. Okay?
I don't think you have to plant anything. I'm sure if you just pat him down, you find something.
In Fast and Furious, not Fast and the Furious, Fast and Furious, there was a guy named Dwight. They went to Dwight's house. They planted some kind of illegal paraphernalia in Dwight's house. The guy was like, "That's never going to stick." And then Paul Walker, rest in peace, said, "It's not supposed to," right? But we just need him out of the picture for a couple of hours. And that's what we need. You know, somebody at the hotel they're staying at, you know, just get Dom out of the picture for a couple of hours. So make sure he's not on the sideline. And that way, there's nobody to protect Sirianni from Sirianni.
877-881-1053 for the official picks. You can pick it straight up. You can pick it with the spread. The over-under seems a little low to me. It's 43.5.
That does seem low.
Because the Eagles, to me, without giving away the pick right now, like, I guess I am going to kind of give away half of it. The Eagles are going to score 30. So how can it be? Why would it be 43.5?
They've only scored 30 twice this year.
Against?
It was against Green Bay and Cincy.
Well, that does not change anything that I just felt or said.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, that's fine. Probably airing on trends.
Fine. 28.
Yeah,
since he's given up 35 in what, five games this year?
What do you feel better about between the two in terms of the spread or the over-under? I feel good about both.
I feel good about both. I honestly do. I think seven is 7.5 is a bad line for it's a bad number to pick a favorite on. But I think, I mean, obviously, it's clear who the better team is right now.
Cooper Rush started five games for the Cowboys in 22, went 4-1. In those five games, the Cowboys defense allowed 16 points a game.
Pretty good.
Right now, they're allowing 28 points a game.
Not as good.
Second most in the NFL. In the games he led them to victory, they gave up 17, 16, 10, and 10 before losing to the Eagles 26-17.
Man, the only thing I could think of with the total being that low is that, you know, typically when the backup comes in, you slow your offense down. You want fewer possessions. The problem is the Cowboys don't run the ball well.
Yeah.
So you can't sustain drives. Now, unless they're saying that Cooper's going to throw it short and have long extended drives, I mean, that's not what Cooper does. You know, Cooper throws the ball downfield really well.
We are going to have to start asking, though, the question.
Well, let's not pretend like he is Russell Wilson. Right. No. Like, we saw two good throws last week. He's still a game manager. Well,
I mean, he might be Russell Wilson.
Now?
Yeah. But no.
Like, during that win streak, they scored 22 a game. All right, they didn't all of a sudden explode for 30, 35 points, 22 a game.
We do have to start asking the question of, Are they using their running game totally correctly versus it's just not very good? Because, I mean, Dowdle has started running the ball well.
Yeah.
And so, to me, I don't know that it's they can't run the ball. They're going to have to, they really do. If they want to commit to it, I think they can with Dowdle because Dowdle's shown that he's good enough to be a guy who carries
it. How are they not running it effectively then, like the right way?
I think at times they just get away from it. Like when they talk about, well, we haven't been in these games. There was a point, I haven't looked at it in the last week or two, but there was a point recently where if you looked at carries when the game is within 7 points or less, Dallas's rushing rate, like number of rushes versus the plays they had in those situations, was down near the bottom of the NFL. They're not running the ball even in close games.
Cowboys defense is allowing the other running back to gain more yards than expected on 38% of rushes this year. That's the that's the second highest rate in the NFL.
God.
Saquon has plus 263 rushing yards over expected. That's second most in the NFL. Well, that's not a good matchup.
No.
Saquon, over expectation, the Cowboys second worst in terms of expected yards given up to a back.
Rico Dowdle is fourth among all NFL running backs in rushing EPA this year.
Fourth
in expected points added. He is fourth. He's ninth in the league because there's five quarterbacks up there, but he is fourth in the NFL in rush EPA. That's the only guys ahead of him are Brian Robinson, Derrick Henry, and Jahmyr Gibbs.
All right, Choppy, you need to avenge the incorrect pick, believing in the Cowboys last week against Atlanta. Who wins and why?
Yeah, I was thinking, I was like, you know, is this going to be one of those things? Because last time Cooper played, I think it was the Cincinnati game, was the first game he came in a couple of years ago. And I'm like, oh, man, they're going to get worked. And they wind up winning. I don't see, this is a different team.
No Noah Brown.
What?
No Noah Brown.
Absolutely. This is a much worse football team. Philadelphia wins this one. They win it. They cover. And the total goes over. It's 28-17.
Oh.
28-17, Philadelphia.
Bob?
If the over doesn't hit, it's because it's 38-0 Philadelphia or something like that. Because Philly's going to score in this game, I think. So I've got this one right now. I do think that there's something that's oddly encouraging about their demeanor this week. They don't look rattled.
Yeah. Micah and Diggs on the podcast, I was impressed with their attitude.
So they seem stable. They don't seem like they're freaking out.
And who's playing? Micah
will play.
Lamb.
I think Micah's gonna play. Lamb's gonna play. Bland will not.
Zach?
Zach, I think the expectation was that he would, but then he was also, he's been more limited in practice than I think they anticipated. But I'm going to say that this one is, it's another rough blowout for Dallas at home. And I'm going to say Philly wins this one 38-17.
Woo! 38-17. Wow. Peyton, your pick and the Tolos.
Yeah, Sean, we'll go to the fan text real quick. I'm looking up and down this fan text, and I don't see a single Cowboys victory here.
A single?
Eagles. 469 says Cowboys lose by 30, 214. Eagles win 42-17. 469, Eagles 31-20. And 972, Eagles 30-20. I have Eagles winning 30-19. I think Saquon will run for days against this Cowboys defense. Now, the Eagles, they don't really score in the first quarter, so it'll be close after 15 minutes.
Right.
But, you know, unfortunately, Cowboys still lose by 11.
You know, that's a really good point by you. I wonder if Vegas is factoring that in. They're not scoring any first quarter points. So do you factor that in?
You might have to.
I have like the total on the Fantex 32-17 filthy. I would run and they're going to win by 7.5. Something's tricky about this over-under, but I would bet both. Can you win something nice if you win on both of those? Is that a parlay?
If you parlay it together, yeah, you'll get a two-teamer is not much. It's like 3-1. But still, you're getting good odds.
The fewest yards Philly's rushed for this year was 113 as a team.
Uh-oh.
They've gone over 170 yards 4 times.
All right, 877-881-1053. Franklin Franco injury. Attorney text line to hit us up here on DFW Sports Station. How big of a problem does the NBA already have with their season just starting? That's next. And Mike McCarthy right here on The Fan.
And after we get you over to SotaWeightLoss.com, SOTAweightLoss.com, hit that Request a Nutritionist callback button. They'll be on the horn with you, getting you set up to shed that weight. Let go of those unwanted pounds. 32 pounds ago. 32 pounds ago, I was up to 242. I got down to 210, and I have stabilized my weight, and that's the best part. And like, it's the maintenance program that they put you on, right? They show you how to eat again. You learn that eating the right way keeps the weight off, right? What a novel concept. Just because it's bulking season now, you're getting a little bit, you put some weight on, you start wearing bigger clothes and comfy clothes, and you want to put on a little bit of extra layers for the winter. Doesn't mean you have to go overboard with it. SotaWeightLoss.com, SOTAweightLoss.com. Hit that Request a Nutritionist callback button. You want to be able to keep the weight down. You want to be able to keep your blood pressure in check, your liver enzymes in check. And they all help me. They all help me at Soda get all those things back to normal where I don't need any kind of medication anymore because I was able to let go of all that weight at SOTAweightLoss.com. I am Soda glad I decided to chop this weight off. Soda is state of the art.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Backdoor feed, shot, score! Sagan somehow found a window. The beat goes on for Tyler Sagan, and Dallas has doubled their lead.
Victory plus with the call. It was the S's, the triple S's. You had Sagan, Stanky, Sam Steele. Each had a goal and an assist for the Stars in a 3-1 win over the Blackhawks at the AAC, where they have been awesome this year at home. Ottinger looked really good in the win with 25 saves. Jamie Benn, 16-16 with faceoffs. That is a beast. And then the big matchup tomorrow in Winnipeg, the Jets are on fire. Only the second team in NHL history to win 13 out of their first 14 games. Spits and Suds podcast out wherever you get your apps. Ours is with Odyssey.
Yeah, there's an article I saw on ESPN about, some trends going around the NHL. And the Stars obviously off to a really good start. Not the start that Winnipeg is off to, but they're going to be right there at the end. But part of the reason they're going to be right there at the end is because of their young superstars and Wyatt Johnson. They've got these contracts coming up and everything, and what kind of money. And I saw that he might be the one that is in line for the next big mega deal from a free agent, as he's very, very young. But, what's the money going to be? That $10 million mark has been kind of thrown around for years with NHL players, and until recently, I think it was Eichel. No team won with a $10 million guy. And is Wyatt going to get to that? Or is he going to get in the $8.5 million that other guys have? But there was a concern and a question thrown out there. Is Wyatt Johnston okay? This is on ESPN. And it talks about the fact that through 11 games, he had just 6 points. Now through 12 games, just the 6 points, which is off his almost 3 points per 60-minute pace last year. And he only has one goal in 11 games, after posting seasons of 24 and 32 goals in his first two seasons. So the question was, is he okay? And you got to boil it down. You got to go back and look at last year. Last year, he started out, first 11 games, he had 8 points. This year, he has 6. Not that big of a difference. And now he did have 4 goals last year, but he's hit the post at least 2 times that I can remember in the first dozen or so games. So is he really that far off? I mean, the answer is probably no. He didn't really kick it into high gear until after the first of the year last year. I don't think it's anything to panic about, but it was something that they just kind of noticed. And maybe if it's mid-December and we're still sitting here and he's off to the same kind of start, then maybe you get worried, but not yet.
Mavericks are back in action tonight, 6:30. The early tip at the AAC against the Phoenix Suns.
You have to watch this one.
The Suns are, that's right, on ESPN. Yeah. The Suns are 7-1. The Mavs are going to finish up this homestand.
Looking for some revenge today.
They are.
It's looking like no PJ and no Lively again with the injuries. But there's an early possible problem for the association.
Yeah, you may be watching Chop, but not many other people will be.
Chop's not watching.
Tonight he can. Front Office Sports.
He can. He won't. Front Office Sports.
Front Office Sports wrote this yesterday about how the NBA, of course, they had that $77 billion media rights deal that Chop couldn't figure out. He's like, why are they getting so much money? Nobody cares about the NBA. Well, last week's primetime NBA games, Tuesday on TNT, Wednesday on ESPN, saw significant viewership declines compared to comparable games last season, according to Sports Media Watch. The Western Conference Finals rematch between the Mavs and Timberwolves averaged a little over a million viewers Tuesday. That was down 17% versus last year's game between the Knicks and Cavs. And the numbers for TNT's second game between the Pelicans and Warriors were not made available. But the next game, the Wednesday night, the Celtics-Pacers game, big rivalry game, Eastern Conference Finals matchup, they drew fewer than the Mavericks and Timberwolves did, 1.01 million. And then the second game between Wembanyama and Chet Holmgren on the Spurs and Thunder, that drew 730,000 viewers. So stuff is way down. That second game, that Spurs-Thunder game, is down 51% from the year before.
Shaquille O'Neal has a theory on why the NBA is struggling. He says it's going to keep getting worse on the Big Pod.
I have a theory that it's down because we're looking at the same thing. Everybody's running the same plays, the damn top of the key, dribble handoff. I was talking to a coach yesterday. He said they want to shoot 53s. Because, you know, they were trying to contemplate if I could play in this era. It's like, yo, Shaq, we would just shoot 53s. And I was like, well, how much you want to make? We want to make about 10 or 15 of them. I was like, well, that's not going to help you win. But I think everybody's looking at the same thing. And Steph Curry and those guys messed it up. Like, I don't mind Golden State back in the day shooting threes, but every team's not a three-point shooter. So why everybody has the same strategy? I think viewership will continue to go down unless we switch things back up.
Look, I have two theories here on this, on why they're struggling. One, everyone's just sitting waiting around for the in-season tournament. That's the reality is.
The IST banner.
And the other one, and this is probably more important, look, we just got done watching Caitlin Clark. You can't go from that to the NBA and expect that you're going to have viewership increase.
Look, it's
also football season.
It's a lack of storylines. And I agree with Shaq. The three-point shooting has gone overboard. Now, I'm not going to punish Steph Curry. That was awesome. It was revolutionary and it was awesome. It's gone overboard. The NBA is going to have to figure out how to bring that back a little bit. But give me the storylines. At the top of the Eastern Conference are the undefeated Cleveland Cavaliers. Nobody cares about the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Literally nobody.
No one.
The biggest storylines are the guys not playing.
The Boston Celtics, the injuries, they're not having the stars around. It'd be a Sixers fan.
Right.
How are you supposed to get excited knowing you're not going to have the guy that you just gave max money to in back-to-back games? Are you kidding me? The Celtic intrigue is how invincible can they be?
Yeah.
The third team in the East is 500. You have to go to the 10th team in the West to find a team at 500. It's the Lakers. They're the 10th seed. The Pacers are tied with the Nets, 3-4. Like, Indiana, yeah, they're fun, but it's still the Indiana Pacers. No one gives a crap about the Brooklyn Nets. No one cares about Atlanta. The Knicks are a little bit intriguing, especially for Stephen A. Smith and that New York audience. Like, how are they going to be with Cat Towns? They have the second most intrigue in the East. The Milwaukee Bucks are looking like they're going to have to blow it up and trade Giannis. They're 2-6. I haven't seen or heard a story about Dame Lillard since he went there. Like, I heard more coverage about Dame in Portland than Milwaukee. It's not interesting. Miami, over and done with, wow, Jimmy Butler, playoff Jimmy Buckets. He didn't even do his hair in a different way for media day. That's not interesting. No one cares about Charlotte. No one cares about Chicago. Orlando, a little bit of an intrigue. Not on a national scale. They lost Banchero. There's no intrigue. There's no storylines. Like, Oklahoma City is supposed to be your young, invincible team. They're still in Oklahoma City. The Warriors, dead and gone. They're 7-1. But it's like we've seen them. We know the Golden State Warriors. It feels like a lack of freshness, at least to me.
I think the league is praying that Anthony Edwards decides he wants to leave Minnesota at some point. I think it's just like...
Wemby?
Wembanyama and...
Like, look at Anthony Edwards. Adam Lefkoe in that Shaq podcast said Anthony Edwards is now shooting 10 threes a game. What do you say to people who are like, go to the rim, dude. Like, you can dunk like MJ. He goes, F them. That's what the coaches want me to do. Anthony Edwards shooting 10 threes a game is awful for the NBA.
Very bad. You got to take advantage of your athleticism.
But you understand why the coaches are doing it, because of the math.
1,000%.
And he's shooting 46%. Yeah. He's killing it.
It's a smart thing to do.
It absolutely is the right thing to do, but and this is the problem, though. Baseball found the same problem. The meta, right? Most efficient tactic available. It's like a video game thing, whatever. Yes, the most efficient way to play baseball is home runs and strikeouts. It's also the most boring. And the most efficient way to play basketball is to shoot threes. And it was fun. And it is fun. But when you take a guy, imagine LeBron James being 20 years old today. You would have lost the greatest part of his game, which is his ability.
Athleticism.
And that stuff pops up the screen. You want to see athleticism.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if you took athleticism out of the NFL and everybody ran curl routes and you just went down the field 6 yards at a time?
I think we're in a period where, look, I like the NBA more than baseball. Choppy's opposite. I think both sports are, trouble might be a little dramatic, but both sports and leagues are going the wrong way in terms of popularity and interest.
Yeah, it's
and
football or nothing.
The football is separating itself even more.
And so it's college football.
College football.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
There is no doubt who the number two sport is. It's college football. And there's no doubt who the number one is. It's the NFL, and it's been the NFL. And, you know, the fight now is baseball and basketball. And all those two sports hope for, because nobody watches the regular season at the same rate. It's not close. But all those two sports hope for, baseball hopes for Yankees and Dodgers in a World Series. And the NBA hopes for, like, a big show, like a superstars in their final. LeBron, Steph, stuff like that.
Howard Eskin joined us from Filthy an hour ago. He was sitting there and making fun of the Sixers signing Paul George. Paul George went back to Los Angeles. He was booed by the Clipper fans, and he was not thrilled about it.
You mentioned earlier that the fans had a fair reaction to you coming back. Does it bother you, though, at all that they booed you for large stretches of that game? Like, after 5 years here?
Yeah.
And not playing your heart out for them? Like, does that bother you at all?
I mean, you know, it's stupid. I mean, I was a free agent. You know what I mean? I was a free agent. It wasn't something that I, you know, demanded a trade or, you know, went against the team here. Like, I was a free agent. The team presented something that was team friendly. And I did what was best for me in that situation. So there was the cheers. I appreciate them. Those were the ones that I played hard for. The boos, I didn't get it. I still don't get it when I go to Indy. But it is what it is. It's sports. You know, that's what's in sports. So, yeah, look forward to next year being back here. And, you know, more boos.
Nobody cheers for Paul George. Fans who have Paul George on their team tolerate Paul George and his corniness. And when he's gone, they go, oh, thank God we can boo this guy that we never really liked anyway and kind of always underperformed. So he should understand it, because it's just the way it is. Paul George is just a guy that, like, all right, when he's on my team, I'm going to cheer for him. But if he's not, I hate this guy.
It is the way it is. The one thing is, the one question I have, like, when you're a fan, if your team presents a lowball offer, you know, can you really get mad at the player for leaving and boom when he comes back?
No. He shouldn't.
He shouldn't. It's fans. We get it.
Yeah.
They
didn't give him his no trade and all that. Like, they didn't give him everything that you'd expect a player like Paul George to get.
Right.
Which I understand the Clippers doing it as well. I don't blame them whatsoever. They weren't going to win anything. Let Paul George go. Start over.
Mm-hmm.
Tear it down.
Totally agree.
But they didn't give him all the star status incentives. So he's like, I'm out.
Yeah. You know, it's not like he took less money to go somewhere else because he hated the city. That's a reason to get upset with the player.
Yeah, like, I'm booing Kawhi way more than Paul George when Kawhi eventually comes back.
Yeah.
In his walker. All right, let's get you set for Sunday on this radio station. Cowboys, Eagles, 12:30 pregame. We'll do it with the head coach of America's team, Mike McCarthy, next on 105.3 The Fan. It is now time for the Mike McCarthy Show, brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee Company, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. Every Friday at this time with Sean Shreve, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. Cowboys Eagles Sunday on this radio station, pregame at 12:30. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How was your week?
I was a little bit sick. Choppy was very happy this week, I think, over some different results that came in.
On, right, Tennessee, number 7, baby.
Oh, that's right. I was thinking Tuesday night. Yeah. But
well, they look great.
Yeah, yeah. Coach, early happy birthday. RJ forgot it last year. We did not want to make the same mistake on Sunday, right. So a happy early birthday.
I would have been fine with some more forgetfulness. That would have been okay by me.
Oh, you didn't want us to acknowledge it? Are you one of those guys? Like, don't get me anything. Don't make it a big deal.
Exactly. No, I mean, I'm 61 years old. I mean, I think the part of having daughters, you get used to birthday weeks. Sometimes it's a birthday month.
Yes.
So I just try to balance it out at home.
Coach, I've always wondered this with a new player that you acquire, like Jonathan Mingo. How does it work in terms of like playbook versus just plays? Is he going to go into the huddle? You guys have your verbiage and someone tells him you run an out, you run a go, you run a slant. How does that work with a new player?
That's an excellent question, because that's really what you have to find a happy medium. These things happen at this point in the season, you hope there is some carryover from language, from past experiences. You know, obviously he's been in a number of different systems the last couple of years, so now he has a new language. So just trying to find a common area of his experience from a language standpoint, the routes. You know, he's definitely has run, most of the routes that we run, but it's just that, it's the details within a route, because everybody runs a little differently, and, specifically how it fits to the quarterback's footwork. So you kind of just have to kind of work through that on the side after practice. We've integrated them into practice just to try to get them into the flow of the huddle and give them certain plays. But it's definitely a process, and that's what it is. You got to try to find a package of things that you can put them into to get started, and then obviously there's going to be some communication by his teammates in the huddle.
Coach, outside of quarterback, which probably is the most difficult to acclimate midseason, which positions are the most difficult versus the easiest, and I assume wide receivers more on the difficult spectrum?
No, I think it's obviously it's offensive system specific. There's systems that are built around, I would say the West Coast offense, the building everything around making the quarterback successful. I know the digit system was a very, very friendly wide receiver system. The origin of it was developed in junior college by Coach Coryell a long time ago. So the ability to have receivers come in, every year, every 2 years, and just learn the number tree, So I think it's, the origin of that is part of it.
Coach, I heard you talking about hanging on to your draft board for situations like this. How long can you hold on to the draft board? Obviously, you want to do homework in Carolina. What went right? What went wrong? How long do you find you can hang on to your evaluation of a player before that doesn't matter anymore if you're thinking about acquiring them?
My goodness, what the hell did you have for breakfast this morning?
Coach, I was out in the past 2 days. It's the medicine. I had two days of rest.
Okay. Something's different, that's for sure. Another good question.
Thank you.
I think it's clearly, that's a good point. I don't know if I've ever put a timeline on it, but, I think when a player comes available, you obviously go to the tape, because the most important is what has he done lately, because, there's obviously potential injuries and things like that that get factored into these decisions too. So, but if you really like somebody in the draft, you should definitely take a deep, deep search into it. I think it's something that, you just can't say, it didn't work out for him over there, and we had a high draft grade that, I'm not going to take a chance on him. So I think it's just a really good procedural process to go through, and I think it works more than it doesn't.
Dallas Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Coach, you're 9-4 in your last 13 games starting a backup quarterback here in Dallas. Why do you think your teams have been so successful in circumstances that most teams find really, really difficult?
I think it's, you know, I think you just got to give credit to a lot of people, starting with the quarterback. I mean, it's, you know, it's a room that functions together. So then, you know, hopefully when change happens, you know, it's not felt as dramatically in the huddle, you know, doing the most important part, the actual playing of the game. And, you know, and I think Cooper brings that to the table. You know, he steps in there, has that excellent huddle command and those types of things. So the functionality of the offense is still intact. Now, you know, how the defense is going to play him versus how they're going to play Dak, you know, we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, I think that's part of it. And, you know, and I think you just got to be in tune with your team, you know, who you are. And who you are is a lot that has to do with how you're playing currently. So, you know, we're going through a phase right now with some moving parts as far as, you know, positions, guys in and out. So you got to factor that into it. So I just think that's all part of it. And I think you just give a lot of credit to the quarterback room.
Cooper spent 7 seasons here now in Dallas as the backup quarterback, and it seems to be a lot of sincere confidence in him from the players to the coaches and everybody else. What are the traits specific to that role of backing up your starter that you guys have felt Cooper embodies so well?
Well, the biggest thing is his consistency. I mean, he's the same individual every single game, you know, every single day as far as, you know, the workplace, the practice field, and it definitely carries over to his game opportunities, you know, which is reflected in obviously his record. So I think that's important. And, you know, and I just really want to see him play to that, because he doesn't need to go in there. He needs to just be Cooper Rush, and everything's going to work out fine.
Is the game plan, does it have to change that drastically with Coop versus Dak, or a lot of backups versus the starter?
Well, I mean, you don't want to change. That really goes back to the design of the quarterback. So, you know, but it's obviously going to adjust. I mean, you always adjust it. I mean, if you're going to have a system that's built on making the quarterback successful, you're definitely going to adjust it to, you know, to his play style.
Mike McCarthy here on 105.3 The Fan. Coach, how much serious consideration did y'all give to just throwing Trey Lance out there and trying to get some reps versus playing Rush right now?
Oh, I think it's important to play to win the game. So, I mean, everything we do Sunday will be, you know, with that mindset. You know, it's you know, we have a lot of football left to play. This is a division game. It's our second division game, and it's important for us to be 2-0 when we walk off that field Sunday.
Blink if Trey Lance could play in some type of packages.
Say that again.
I said blink. Blink there if Trey Lance could play in any type of packages to take advantage of his athleticism. We'll just wait for you to blink or not.
Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you. See, now you flipped on the other side of the fence.
I don't think
we're not opposed to ask, you know, scheme questions and playtime questions. And
I just said blink. I left it open-ended with a blink.
You're abusing this friendship. There we go.
Mike McCarthy joining us here, 105.3 The Fan. What is the status of Zeke?
Zeke? No, he's practiced very well. He's part of the plan. So kind of just back to normal.
Coach, the evolution of Jalen Hurts as a thrower. We talk about that with guys like him, with Lamar Jackson. Lamar silenced a lot of those critics. What are you seeing in Hurts, even compared to last year, throwing the football?
Yeah, I think, you know, like any quarterback, you know, a healthy run game helps everybody play better in the pocket, and because you have a better pocket, because of the threat of run always exists. I think, you know, Saquon Barkley, just the way he's playing, and then, you know, in that run blocking unit, what they're doing week in and week out has definitely given him, you know, cleaner opportunities. But yeah, I think he's definitely evolving. He's playing at a high level right now. Their offense is efficient. And I think they're really, you know, in sync here the last, you know, couple of weeks.
Coach, when you study Philly, do the concepts and philosophies on offense look similar to the ones you guys saw Kellen running leading into the Chargers game last year, or even some of the stuff that he was running here with you guys in Dallas?
I'd say it's more towards what they've done there. You know, I think it's, you know, that's a common approach. You have a successful offensive system, but definitely you could see the variations of what, you know, what Kellen believes in. So that's what I see.
And Coach, you know, in regards to your young offensive linemen, Tyler Guyton, Cooper Beebe, you've talked before about peaks and valleys and how it's important to learn from the valleys but not dwell on them. How do you approach making sure guys like Guyton and Beebe, they receive the correction, the coaching points that you're trying to give them without having them beat themselves up over those negative aspects?
Well, I mean, that's the synergy that you have between players and coaches, whether it's the position, in the group, in the units, and also in the team. So, yeah, I would say we have a very positive culture that promotes growth all the time. But, the demand of the coaching staff is something that, that I'm always in tune with. I don't think you can ever – today have your demand high enough. I mean, generationally, when you look at the players over time, the way you communicate today is definitely different than you did 10, 15, 20 years ago. So, but yeah, I think our guys do a really good job of that.
Coach, how much of it for CD this week is going to be pain management versus, just range of motion and ability to play at a normal level with the shoulder?
I would say it's, I'd put it in the category of pain management. Just the way he practiced yesterday. He had a heck of a day yesterday, so he looks good. But it's definitely something he's gonna have to deal with.
Coach, you've been around a number of different teams during your coaching career. Is there a specific season or team that you worked with that you think back on and say, I remember we were in a similar spot, we managed to right the ship, and I can draw on these experiences here to know, all right, this is how we get things going in the right direction?
Definitely. I mean, I've had a number of injury-filled seasons in Green Bay. Just going back through the timeline. 2010 was the first big injury season that we had up there, and it probably was the most prominent. And that turned out great. 16 was another one. We were same way, decimated behind the eight ball. At the middle of the season and righted the ship and lost the NFC Championship game. So I've been through it, and then I've had games, 13 and 17 where you lose your starting quarterback for almost 10 games too. So, and those are, tough years. So, I've been through it a number of times.
Coach, have you found over your years that when you do lose the quarterback or you're in a losing streak, even more so than a losing streak, that is the time that players can lose focus the most when that quarterback goes down?
I think what I've experienced, and it's very evident this week, the focus gets tighter. I think on offense, what I've seen on offense is just the guys rallying around Cooper because they know he's going to bring it. He's always super prepared. I mean, if you're a young player and you've figured out how things work on offense, if you have a question, Cooper Rush is one of the first guys you're going to go ask. So I see the focus this week as far as, the details of how we want to play and the demand of getting things done. It's definitely been there in the preparation.
Is it crazy to think that there's just like a feeling of pressure off? Like, we're under 500 right now. The noise has been so loud. We lost Dak. Just go out and play free. There's nothing to lose. Is it crazy to think that these guys could play freer and looser?
Well, that was the message last week, just to make sure that they were free and open. And I thought we went into the game. We were definitely prepared and started that way. We just, you got to sustain that. So I think those approaches, as far as how you message and what you want out of the team are accurate, and you have to acknowledge it. But I can only go by what I see and feel in the interactions with our players every day. And we had a hell of a practice yesterday. It was probably, a little choppy in the beginning, but the physicality and the energy and the juice was exactly what I was looking for.
Coach, fantastic yet again. Thank you so much. And here's to a happy birthday on Sunday. Go get them. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Mike McCarthy, brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee Company, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. RJ says the Cowboys are not the only Texas team that won't cover this weekend. College and NFL football degenerate picks to make you some money this weekend. Final hour of the week after this.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.